الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue with the tafsir of Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. And today happens to be the 27th of January 2012, which corresponds to the 4th of Rabi al-Awwal 1433. And some people call it Rabi' al-Nur because it's the supposedly the month in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, right? Yeah. But do we celebrate Mawlid? Why? Alaykum salam wa alaykum salam. Why not Mawlid? Why don't we celebrate Mawlid? Why don't we celebrate Mawlid? Yusuf Kito. Usually a very easy answer, a way out of all of these complications that the people present is you tell them one thing. Say, look, are you or the Sahaba better? Say, the Sahaba. Okay. Better in terms of what? They will say everything. Are they better in understanding their deen? Yes. Okay. Are they better in their deeds? Ibadah? Yes. They're better because they were the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. We were not? Yes. Okay, so if this is the case and they didn't do it, why are you doing it? Because if they're better, that means they will race. They will beat you to any good. They will be there first. If something they deliberately left alone all their lives, meaning you doing it either suggests that you are better than them or that you're not following them. And in either case, you are astray. But that's not the topic of our discussion. The topic of our discussion is Ayah 113 of Surah An-Nisa, which I will recite. The Shaykh, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, afwan, says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله says, ولولا فضل الله عليك ورحمته لهم الطائفة منهم أن يضلوك وما يضلون إلا أنفسهم وما يضرونك من شيء وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة وعلمك ما لم تكن تعلم وكان فضل الله عليك عظيما. And if it was not for the favor of Allah upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His mercy, a group of them would have determined to mislead you. But they do not mislead except themselves, and they will not harm you at all. And Allah has revealed to you the book and wisdom, and has taught you that which you did not know. And ever has the favor Allah has the favor of Allah upon you been great. Now, this ayah, does it remind you of another ayah in the Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal mentions to the Prophet alayhi salam that they would have diverted you from the path had it not been for Allah? What surah actually reminds him of that same idea? And in that surah it occurs more than once. In which surah does Allah remind the Prophet ﷺ about the plot of the kuffar and how they would have misled him had Allah not kept him firm? And Allah again reminded him in that surah that the favor of Allah has been great upon the Prophet ﷺ. What surah, Jama'at al-Khair? Waalaikum salam, Mr. Bustanera. Thank you for your timely arrival, brother. Huh, guys? Subhanallah, I open it and it's right there in front of me. Huh? Surah, which you should all know, that indicates that when we read the Quran, we don't know what's going on. It indicates that we don't know what's going on. Yes? For example, Surah Al-Isra. It's in Surah Al-Isra. One ayah, Allah says, وَلَئِنْ شِئْنَا لَذَهَبْنَا بِالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا وَكِيلًا. And if we wish, we would have taken away that which we have revealed unto you, and then you will not find anyone besides us as a protector and an ally. No one you can rely on to bring the Quran if Allah were to take it away from you. And prior to that, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. And had we not kept you firm, you were on the verge of reclining towards them just a little bit. Again in Surah Al-Isra, وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذَا لَاتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا. And verily they were on the verge to divert you, to be a fitna for you, in regards to that which we revealed unto you, so that you may fabricate against us something else. And then they would have taken you as a close friend. So all of these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal reminds the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the plots of the kuffar, and how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala supported him and did not give him any authority over his messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now when we have a similar idea being presented in Surah An-Nisa, we are ayah number 113. The same idea is being presented. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ مِنَّتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ بِحِفْظِهِ وَعِصْمَتِهِ مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُضِلَّهِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned His favor upon His messenger in regards to preservation and in regards to protection from those who wanted to lead him astray. فقال, so Allah said, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. Had it not been for the virtue, the bounty of Allah upon you and His mercy, لَهَمَّ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُضِلُّكَ. A group of them were on the verge of misleading you. Now, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ الْكَرِيمَاتِ قَدْ ذَكَرَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ أَنَّ سَبَبَ نُزُولَهَا أَنَّ أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ سَرَقُوا فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Now the Shaykh said, these noble ayat, according to the mufassirun, the people who do the exegesis of the Quran, or the exegists, they said that the context of revelation, or the reason, you can say context of revelation, sabab al-nuzul, asbab al-nuzul, you can say the reason of revelation, or the context of revelation, meaning what circumstance was there for that ayat to be revealed. That a group, or a household, a particular household, they stole in Medina. Okay? One family, they robbed something in Medina. فَلَمَّا اطَّلَعَ عَلَى سَرِقَتِهِمْ خَافُوا الْفَضِيحَ. When their theft was exposed, when people became aware of their robbery, they were afraid of disgrace. They were afraid of disgrace before the people. وَأَخَذُوا سَرِقَتَهُمْ فَرَمُوهَا بِبَيْتٍ مَنْ هُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. So they took the items which they stole, and they threw them away, or they put them in the house of an innocent person. Okay? يعني in other words, someone steals something, and he knows that he got caught, he goes and he puts it in his co-worker's pocket. And that co-worker may have been known for stealing before, but this time he is innocent. But because you know that they will suspect him more than they would suspect you, you go and you put it in his pocket. Wa alaikum salam, Mr. Abdul Hadi. Anywho, we will let this one slide fi sabilillah. Naam. فرموه نعم واستعان السارق بقومه أن يأتوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويطلبوا منه أن يبرئ صاحبهم على رؤوس الناس. Now the thief sought assistance from his tribe that they should go to the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام and declare and demand that his innocence is declared before the people. يعني he stole something. And he suspected that the people knew. He knew that the people knew he stole. The news was there. He went and he put it in someone else's house. But that wasn't enough. Then he wants his people, he told his tribe, go to the Prophet ﷺ and make him, before everyone, say, Fulan is innocent. Fulan is innocent.
فهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عفوا أيوة وقالوا إنه لم يسرق وإنما الذي سرق من وجدت السرقة ببيته وهو البريء.
And he wants the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام to say that he did not steal. The robber is the one in whose home the merchandise or the items were found, and that this particular individual is innocent.
فهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبرئ صاحبهم.
The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had the idea, يعني crossed his mind. هم is when you're not really determined. You haven't reached the point of determination and firm belief or firm intent. It's a stage before that. Like what happened with Yusuf. ولقد همت به صح. وهم بها لولا أن رأى برهانا. Are you guys familiar with the ayat of Surah Yusuf or not? Yusuf was presented with this fitna of this woman, and he had the hum, يعني he had thought of going for what she had been asking, and so did she, until he saw the proof from his Lord. Now the scholars differ about what that burhan of his Lord was. Nevertheless, this is the hum. أن تهم بالشيء is not like أن تفعله أو أن تعزم عليه. عزيمة is خلاص, strong determination. إذا عزمت فتوكل على الله. When you have already determined, you're determined, then rely upon Allah. Hum is before that. So the Prophet ﷺ had that idea. نعم. فأنزل الله هذه الآيات تذكيرا وتبيينا لتلك الواقعة وتحذيرا للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من المخاصمة عن الخائنين. Allah then revealed these ayat as means of reminder and as means of clarification in regards to this particular incident, and to warn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to warn him against arguing on behalf of the treacherous, to warn him against arguing on behalf of the treacherous. Yani you know that someone is in the state of betraying, he has betrayed, and yet you're still an advocate. You are an advocate on his behalf, you defend him and you support him and this and that, while you know that he is guilty.
فَإِنَّ الْمُخَاصَمَةَ عَنِ الْمُبْطِلِ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ.
Arguing on behalf of a falsehood or a falsifier is a form of misguidance.
فَإِنَّ الضَّلَالَ نَوْعَانِ.
فَإِنَّ الضَّلَالَ نوعان. Why did it say إن الضلال نوعان and not إن الضلال نوعين?
Gaining degree as an attorney.
Wait. We're speaking about grammar, Abdul Hadi. Grammar. You could have said, or you hear نوعان and نوعين. It's the same word, but you're changing the alif with the ya. Why? For a grammatical reason. What is that grammatical reason which makes you put an alif instead of a ya?
Khabar inna daiman maf'ool.
Khabar inna
daiman maf'ool. Alamat rafihi alif.
لأنه
maf'ool.
والالف علامة الرفع في المثنى.
في المثنى.
إيه. خبر إن. خبر إن مرفوع. إن whenever look you say الولد جميل, الولد جميل, both of them end with the ضمة, one with تنوين, one with regular ضمة. When you add إن it becomes إن الولد جميل. So the ولد became ولد because of إن. So it's like in English, it's like the preposition. When a preposition or something along these lines enter upon a sentence, they change something in the sentence. Now, it's not the same in Arabic, obviously, because the pronunciation and the vowels change. But the reason why we say نوعان, because it is the khabar of inna. Inna al-dalala نوعان. Here, many people think نوعان is mansoob. No. The alif is the alamatul rafa of the muthanna. Otherwise, if you say inna al-dalala نوعين, wrong.
It is grammatically incorrect. Of course, most people don't know about all this, or if they do know, they don't care. So, but I'm letting you know why the Arabic language is vital in understanding the deen. Because, like I said before, an ayah read incorrectly will constitute disbelief. Even, I mean, of course, you may be excused for your jahil. But if you were to say, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءَ, you left Islam, technically speaking. Because you said that Allah is the one who fears the scholars. Whereas the ayah should be read, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. So then Allah becomes the object of the sentence. So the ulama are the ones who fear Allah, the fa'il, and the maf'ul bihi is the lafdhul jalala. Very, very technical issues, man. So I don't know how your Arabic is coming along, but you know, you need to step on that gas pedal before you crash. Yeah. طيب, so the Shaykh continues, وَالضَّلَالْ إِذَنْ أَضَّلْإِنْ فَإِنَّ الضَّلَالَ نَوْعَانْ ضَلَالٌ فِي الْعِلْمِ وَهُوَ الْجَهْلُ بِالْحَقِّ. Dalal is of two kinds. Dalal in regards to knowledge, which is being ignorant of the truth. You don't know the truth, so you are misled in this regard. وَضَلَالٌ فِي الْعَمَلِ وَهُوَ الْعَمَلُ بِغَيْرِ مَا يَجِبْ. And there's deviance in terms of deeds, in terms of action, so you do that which you shouldn't be doing. Pay attention. Very important, the categorization of dalal. You can be dal in a sense that you are ignorant of the truth. We say you are deviant, or you are astray, you are misled, you are whatever term we may use in English, as in someone who doesn't know the truth, like the Christians early on in the early Christian church. Actually, nowadays they're all maghdub alayhim, but before they were ad-dallin, because you say in the Fatiha ghayr al-maghdub alayhim walal ad-dallin, those who did not know the truth. And until now, the average Christian does not know his aqidah. The average Christian, waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for your early arrival, brother. Until now, the average Christian does not know his aqidah. And so he's dhal. فَحَفِظَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ. Again, Allah الفاعل رسوله مفعول به. فَحَفِظَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم عن هذا النوع من الضلال كما حفظه عن الضلال في الأعمال. Allah سبحانه وتعالى protected and safeguarded the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم against both kinds of ضلال. The one in terms of being ignorant of the truth, and the one in terms of doing what is not becoming. Both Allah protected the Prophet ﷺ from falling into. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ كَيْدَهُمْ وَمَكْرَهُمْ يَعُودُ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ كَحَالَةِ كُلِّ مَاكِرٍ. And Allah informed that all of their plots and planning will only be against themselves, just like it is the case with every plotter and planner. And the Arabic proverb says, "Man hafara hufratan li akhihi waqa'a fiha." The Arabic proverb says, "Whoever digs a hole or a ditch for his brother, he will fall into it." You see what I'm saying? You're trying to dig a hole so that when your brother's walking, he falls into it, and then you wind up falling into it yourself, so you dug your own hole. So anyone who plots and plans specifically against Allah, they're actually destroying themselves. يعني these silly kuffar. They hate the Muslims, and they kill the Muslims, and they, you know, they join forces against the Muslims, and all the things that they do, and they think that they're plotting and planning and establishing something, and at the end, they're actually making their punishment in the hellfire more severe, or severer. That's what they're doing. So who's the winner? Who's the winner at the end? Who's the winner? The kuffar, now they think that Allah cannot control what they're doing, and they are powerful, and Allah has nothing to do with them. There's no God, or God is on their side, or blah, blah, blah. And they run their mouths with that stuff. طيب. And then at the end of the day, and they think they are plotting and planning against the deen of Allah. But at the end of the day, who will be the winner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their plots will be against themselves. They only made their life, they ruined their life to come. They have ruined their life to come. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُونَ. They are trying to trick Allah. And Allah has already tricked them. Only in the sense that they're trying, so Allah have, you know, replied. It's in retaliation. Otherwise, Allah doesn't trick anyone. Allah doesn't trick anyone. There's what they call istidraj. Who can think of an English equivalent for the term istidraj? It's a very technical term. What is istidraj? Okay, first, who can tell me what is the Arabic? Have you heard the word istidraj before?
Yes.
You heard it?
Yes.
Okay. Can you think of a noun that is close to that word? Right now, when you were coming here, what did you use to come here? What did you use to come here? Did you just land on the second floor by jumping? You use the stairs, a daraj. Use the daraj. And what is the feature of the daraj? Step. Step by step. What is istidraj? Istidraj is to lure someone. Enticement. That's the technical term. Enticement. Yani, you have a mouse that has been giving you a hard time. طيب. And this mouse is deserving of your punishment. So you put a piece of cheese at the door, another piece of cheese, and another piece of cheese, until you have the trap right here. So this is called istidraj of the mouse. You can't go directly, maybe kill it, it's fast. Can't catch it. So you lure it, you lure the mouse to your trap willingly. She comes willingly, or it comes willing. She knows, I mean, it knows what it's doing. It knows what it's doing. It wants the cheese. And you're not really doing anything wrong. You see, is she entitled? Why am I saying she? Is the mouse entitled? Is the mouse entitled to consume your food? No. No. In Islam, anyways, the mouse is a fawaisika. It's a corrupt animal which you're allowed to kill. That's why you shouldn't be having no Mickey Mouse, you know, cartoon or Mickey Mouse, you know, backpacks or anything of the sort. Because a mouse in Islam is not something that we really love and praise. But you notice the kuffar, they look for every, you know, a silly animal which Islam has made, yani, and not necessarily on the list of the good animals, and they make them the most famous, you know, cartoon characters. You have Mickey Mouse, and how many pig-related cartoons do they have?
Tom and Jerry.
Many, and Tom and Jerry, you know, the mouse is okay, the cat is okay, but you know, Jerry is innocent, and Mouse Tom is always the evil one. By the way, Tom and Jerry is kufr. Have you seen the episode when Tom had a dream that he died, and then this is where the problem is. He had a dream that he died. He was sleeping next to the chimney, okay, and it was on. It was fire. It was ignited, and then he had a dream that he died. And supposedly in his dream, there's a stairway to heaven, right? And then he takes the stairway to heaven. It's like this long journey. And then when he makes it there, I mean, of course, you're going to laugh because it's so abhorrent. But at the end of the day, it's kufr. Who's the god? A cat. They have a cat there at the entrance. He has like a gate. And he tells him, ask him for his paperwork. And he finds out that he killed Jerry. And because he killed Jerry, he says, no, there's no admittance to paradise for you. So Tom was kicked out of paradise. And then he went down to hell. Who's going to burn him in hell? The dog, which he always used to give a hard time.
You're not on this episode, huh?
Of course, man. I've watched it maybe 500 times when I was a young kid. But the point being, the kids watch this stuff and we don't pay attention. And in fact, unless they will be brainwashed now to belittle the matters of the life to come. Just like we were forced to laugh right now. You can't help it. You can't help it. It's disgusting, but it's so weird that you just smile about it. But that's what Tom and Jerry is. And so that's why you have to be very careful what these little kids are watching. And the same can be said about all Disneyland movies, all of the cartoon predominantly that is out there today. There's an element of brainwashing that will teach the kids immorality. Without a doubt. The Little Mermaid is no different. The Lion King is no different. All of these famous You know, it's all about love, and it's all about a beautiful girl. It's all about, you know, magic. Our magic kiss, and the frog becomes a prince, and the prince becomes a frog, and all these things. Where did these things come from? Not from Islam, brothers in Islam. طيب. وَفَقَالَ وَمَا يُضِلُّونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They mislead none but themselves. لِكَوْنِ ذَلِكَ الْمَكْرِ وَذَلِكَ التَّحَيُّلِ لَمْ يَحْصُلْ لَهُمْ فِيهِ مَقْصُودُهُمْ وَلَمْ يَحْصُلْ لَهُمْ إِلَّا الْخَيْبَ وَالْحِرْمَانِ وَالْإِثْمِ وَالْخُسْرَانِ. Because of their plotting and their kind of deceit, they were not able to attain their objectives. In fact, the only thing they were able to attain was disappointment, deprivation, sin, and loss. That's what the kuffar got when they tried to plot against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَهَذَا نِعْمَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Shouldn't be وَهَذِهِ نِعْمَةٌ كَبِيرَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. It says here هَذَا. And this is a great bounty upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يَتَضَمَّنُ النِّعْمَةَ بِالْعَمَلِ وَهُوَ التَّوْفِيقُ لِفِعْلِ مَا يَجِبُ. For it includes the bounty of being granted deeds, the righteous deeds, which is basically the success to be able to do what is obligatory. وَالْعِصْمَةُ لَهُ مِنْ عَنْ كُلِّ مُحَرَّمٍ. And the protection, the Prophet ﷺ, protection against every forbidden thing, everything prohibited. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعِلْمِ. Then Allah mentioned the favor, Allah's favor upon the Prophet ﷺ in regards to knowledge. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. فقال وأنزل الله عليك الكتاب والحكمة أي أنزل عليك هذا القرآن العظيم والذكر الحكيم الذي فيه تبيان كل شيء وعلم الأولين والآخرين. Meaning Allah send down upon you the book and the wisdom. Meaning Allah send down upon you this glorious or this great Quran. Not holy Quran. Right? Have we had this discussion in this class before? Yes. Abdul Hadi, do you still say Holy Quran when you give da'wah? Are you sure?
Before, but
I'm going to make people record you, man. How about you? Do you say Holy Quran when you give da'wah? Sheikh Yusuf Kito. Do you use Holy Quran? Have you used Holy Quran before?
I use
the Holy Quran. There you go. Bustanera. You're like, what are you talking about? خلاص, everybody repented to Allah from this holy. No, Habibi. No. It is holy, isn't it? Is it holy?
Yeah.
Yes, as an adjective, it is holy. It's the speech of Allah. And Allah is holy, and so His speech is holy. But we have two problems. We have three problems, actually. Problem number one, Allah never used that term. He never used it. Quranun Azim, Quranun Kareem, Quranun Majid, Quranun Hakim, never Quranun Muqaddas. So if Allah never used it, nor did the Prophet ﷺ, it is not appropriate for us to insist on a name which Allah did not use. As an adjective, yes, in the context of discussion, you say the Quran is holy, it's the speech of Allah. But to say the Holy Quran said, the Holy Quran as a proper noun, you are choosing a name which Allah didn't choose. Either your choice is better or Allah's. The second problem is that it is imitation of the Christians who have their Holy Bible. And this is where the Holy Quran came from. It came from imitating the Christians with their Holy Bible. And we don't need to imitate them because our book is superior to theirs. So our naming should be superior to theirs. And lastly, the term holy has many different connotations. And it is a very confusing term for the audience. Unless you have a sound aqidah. If you don't have a sound aqidah, however, if you're dealing with a bunch of Hindus or a bunch of Christians of different denominations, the term holy may be interpreted in many different ways to them, some of them indicating divinity. Some of them indicating divinity or that which is only the right of Allah, yani the attributes of Allah. So to avoid falling into that which may cause a bigger problem, we don't use this term, even though it is correct as an adjective.
Just so that no one will think Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Prophet, Holy Ramadan, Holy Quran. The term holy now has a different connotation in their mind. So when you try to apply it in Islamic terminology, you don't know this person what he is thinking about. He may understand what you're saying, he may not. Specifically, and the worst of all, Holy Prophet. That is the worst. Yani the Holy Quran, huh? We'll digest it. I'm a Holy Prophet, and you're giving a Christian who believes in the Holy Son, and you tell him we have a Holy Prophet, khalas. You made to him, Holy Son is like Holy Father, and now Holy Prophet is like Holy Allah. And so where's the Tawheed that you're calling to? So it is nonsensical, ya Jama'at al-Khair. I don't know why people still insist on it, or they fight over it. Even the holy month of Ramadan is not a name that we use. Hatta, even the scholars say you shouldn't say Ramadan Kareem. Because it is not Ramadan which is Kareem. Allah is the Kareem. Allah is the generous one who gives you ajr in Ramadan. Ramadan in and of itself is a month. Allah made in that month blessings and multiplication of reward. So the ulama say you could not say Ramadan Kareem. You say Ramadan Mubarak. Because now that is a description, Mubarak, meaning the attribute of blessing, has been granted by Allah.
It can be called blessed month.
The blessed month of Ramadan, absolutely. Isn't it blessed? Yes. But when you say Kareem, you're giving it, it's an independent trait. And the month is not Kareem. Allah is Al-Kareem. Otherwise, if the month was Kareem independently, then you are guaranteed ajr with or without Allah. Meaning even if Allah doesn't want to give you ajr, Ramadan will give it to you because Ramadan is Kareem. So you have to be very careful. The ulama are very particular about terminology. It's a very sensitive aspect of our deen. And those involved in da'wah have to be, they have to sharpen their skills. You have to sharpen your skills. You have to know what you're doing, what you're saying, as much as you can. Perfection belongs to Allah, but we should make it an intent to improve ourselves. Ala kulli hal. So this great Quran was dhikr al-hakim, and this wise reminder, الَّذِي فِيهِ تِبْيَانُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, in which there's a clarification for everything and the knowledge of the earlier generations and the latter ones. The last paragraph says, وَالْحِكْمَةُ إِمَّا السُّنَّةِ الَّتِي قَدْ قَالَ فِيهَا بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ إِنَّ السُّنَّةَ تُنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِ كَمَا يُنَزَّلُ الْقُرْآنِ. Excellent. Listen to this now. The ayah says, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. طيب, Allah send down upon you the kitab and the hikmah. The scholars say, the sheikh said, hikmah is sunnah. It's either, one of the meanings is as sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Regarding which some of the salaf said, the sunnah is sent down upon you like the Quran. Yani the sunnah used to be sent down upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam just like the Quran. Meaning we have how many revelations? Two. One which was the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah in the form of the recital, which is Al-Qur'an min al-qira'ah, sahih? And one which is the application and the explanation and the elaboration and the implementation of the words of Allah in the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is also from Allah. Because if Allah were to reveal an ayah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were to misapply it, because his action is not wahi, that means that we will have discrepancy in the deen. So when Allah reveals the ayah, He also reveals to the Prophet ﷺ what to say to fulfill and to complete and to supplement this ayah. So that's a very nice approach to things. وَإِمَّا مَعْرِفَةُ أَسْرَارُ الشَّرِيعَةِ الزَّائِدَ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ أَحْكَامِهَا وَتَنْزِيلِ الْأَشْيَاءِ مَنَازِلِهَا وَتَرْتِيبُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ بِحَسْبِهِ. Another interpretation of hikmah is not sunnah. The other interpretation among the ulama is it is knowing the secret, yani the secret conceptions behind the legislation. What does that mean? We're not trying to speak about religious symbolism here. What the Shaykh is saying, طيب, for example, Allah Azza wa Jal said, do not do this. Whatever that thing is. Do not look at women. طيب, كل المؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. Tell the believing men to lower part of their gaze. Or to lower their gaze.
Now, what are you supposed to do as a believer? Obey. طيب. Now this is Quran. Hikmah is being able to understand or to mention the wisdom behind that. So you find the ulama say from fawaid min fawaid ghadd al-basar, like Ibn Qayyim. From the benefits of lowering the gaze, that it strengthens the iman and it protects you from temptation. And then they mention benefits. And they mention the danger behind not lowering the gaze. And not lowering the gaze entails being attached to the image which you see. Being sexually aroused most of the time. It leads to masturbation. It may lead to zina. So they mention all the benefits behind lowering the gaze and all the disadvantages of not lowering the gaze. This is the wisdom behind the shari'ah. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal make this haram? Because if you don't, it will do such and such. And if you do, it will protect you from such and such. This is what is intended by Asrar al-Sharia. Not some Sufi-based understanding that only the elite, only some people understand, and the rest of the people do not. Like in the Durzis, among the Duruz, who claim that only some people know the deen and everybody else has to wait until they're 40 years old. So it is basically knowing the secret, which is going beyond simply knowing the rulings and being able to apply things in an appropriate manner and arranging things according to the way they need to be arranged. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And Allah has taught you that which you knew not. وَهَذَا يَشْمَلُ جَمِيعَ مَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعْلَى. This includes everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla had taught the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كما وصفه الله قبل النبوة بقوله. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was just like Allah described him prior to prophethood when he said, وما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. You had no knowledge. You did not know what is the book, what the Quran was, nor iman. يعني the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he had an iman in a sense that he wasn't a mushrik. He never participated in the idolatry of the pagan practices of the Quraishis. Nevertheless, the concept of iman in its comprehensive form, the belief in Allah, the angels and the messengers and the scriptures and the last day and preordainment and the details of the life to come and the grave and everything. Did the Prophet ﷺ know that before Nubuwa? This only was given to him after he became a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma. And Allah said, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى. And he found you unaware of these things, so he guided you to them. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَزَلْ عَفْوًا يُوحِي اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَيُعَلِّمَهُ وَيُكَمِّلَهُ حَتَّى ارْتَقَى مَقَامًا مِنَ الْعِلْمِ يَتَعَذَّرُ وُصُولُهُ عَلَى الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. Then Allah continued to teach him and perfect him until he rose to a particular status among the people in knowledge that no human being before or after will ever be able to attain. Khalas. He superseded everyone sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ أَعْلَمُ الْخَلْقِ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ. He was the most knowledgeable person, period. He was the most knowledgeable of the creation, period. وَأَجْمَعُهُمْ لِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ وَأَكْمَلُهُمْ فِيهَا. And he had accumulated the most perfect of attributes and the best on a human level. On a human level, he was the most complete human being sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, الْكَمَالُ الْمُطْلَقُ لِلَّهِ. The ultimate perfection is for Allah because it's on a divine note. As in regards to the human level, the Prophet ﷺ was the most perfect human being that could be. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. This is why Allah said, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Verily the favor of Allah upon you is tremendous and great. فَفَضْلُهُ عَلَى الرَّسُولِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَعْظَمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى كُلِّ الْخَلْقِ. The favor of Allah upon His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم is greater than His favor upon all of the creation. وَأَجْنَاسُ الْفَضْلِ الَّذِي قَدْ فَضَّلَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ لَا يُمْكِنْ إِسْتِقْصَاءُهُ وَلَا يَتَيَسَرْ إِحْصَاءُهُ. And the various dimensions in which Allah bestowed His special favors upon the Prophet ﷺ we cannot even accumulate or enumerate. We cannot accumulate nor enumerate. It's just beyond, it's just too much. He gave him too much. And really, if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, he was most perfect. He was a commander-in-chief. And he was the general of the army. And he was a husband. And he was a father. And he was an uncle. And he was a friend. And he was a companion. In everything, every aspect of life, he exemplified ﷺ the most perfect manner in dealing with things. Which one of us can have 9 wives or 10 wives and be able to deal with them adequately? Really, with justice. With justice. Difficult. It's very difficult to be able to deal with all the jealousy, and this is the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. And many different things, if you read the seerah, it becomes clear that there's none who had, you know, any prophet given the privileges that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude this dars. Bi-idhnillah, in the near future, if you all remain alive and healthy, we will be doing ayat 114 and whatever Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Now,